Right now on VFN TV, we're going to go to the Arlington National Cemetery with President Trump, and we're going to remember Memorial Day right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
So what Trump did was, Trump was risen up as the door was closing and judgment was coming on America, and we were heading down that road where our economy would have absolutely spiraled out of existence. And God put a mercy visit instead. He put a hard-nosed, prophetic Cyrus who stands there at the door and says, no, there's going to be an extension of peace and grace on America.
Whoever gets in, people are going to say, what?
I don't want to sound overly melodramatic, but this is probably the most astonishing night of American politics.
I have been looking around the room at people who are stone-faced. Some of them have been crying.
How did this happen? What? What is going on? What?
But the Lord showed me in this particular night vision, this dream, we were in this courtroom. The evil one was on trial. And the prosecutor looks at us and says, he's going to get convicted. And then all of a sudden, he turns back towards the judge. And as soon as he turns to the judge, the gavel comes down. And the entire courtroom begins to feel like slices of gold, thin slices of gold, just started raining down in the courtroom nonstop. And he turns around to us. You can't even see across the courtroom. He points at us and says, I told you it was coming. When God deals with the evil one, the resources get released. There's going to be great resources coming.
We will be protected by God.
The name of Jesus got more attention that day than any inauguration I can ever remember.
In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.
Your heavenly Father, respectfully in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Glory to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, may my right hand forget its skill.
And this is the breakthrough year.
Breakthroughs. There's that word breakthrough again.
The Lord told me there's a year of incredible breakthroughs coming to us. Long-awaited victories for us.
I am here tonight to deliver a message of unity and strength. And it is a message deeply delivered from my heart.
Well, I think the president, it's no secret, has made it very clear that he's a pro-life president. He wants to stand up for all Americans, including the unborn. And I think the reinstatement of this policy is not just something that echoes that value, but respects taxpayer funding as well, and ensures that we're standing up not just for life of the unborn, but for also taxpayer funds that are being spent overseas to perform an action that is contrary to the values of this president. I think continue to further illustrate, not just to the folks here in this country, but around the world, what a value we place on life.
Life is winning again. In America.
What I hear most often as I travel the country are five words that never ever fail to touch my heart. That's, I am praying for you. I hear it so often. I am praying for you, Mr. President. Our republic was formed on the basis that freedom is not a gift from government, but that freedom is a gift from God. For us here in Washington, we must never, ever stop asking God for the wisdom to serve the public according to His will.
The alliance between Israel and America has always been extremely strong. It's about to get even stronger.
One of the big issues is the embassy in Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. How important is it to repair this relationship, and what about that move of the embassy?
It's repaired.
It's repaired already.
Got repaired as soon as I
took the 5 minutes.
Yeah, it's repaired.
I've known the president and I've known his family and his team for a long time. And there is no greater supporter of the Jewish people and the Jewish state than President Donald Trump. I think we should put that to rest.
He proceeded to ask me, who did President Truman lean on to help get the Jews back in the Holy Land? I said, General Eisenhower. The Lord said to me, I have raised up Trump, and I am also giving him generals to help defend my people, the Jews, to keep them in their homeland. What was will be again.
We are also taking strong measures to protect our nation from radical Islamic terrorism. A quote by the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. In 1955, he told the world, "We are determined to work and fight until justice runs down like water and righteousness like a mighty stream." Each American generation passes the torch of truth, liberty, and justice in an unbroken chain all the way down to the present. That torch is now in our hands, and we will use it to light up the world.
I dare not trust the sweetest flame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm Greg Lancaster, and we're so excited for you to be here today. Joining me just a moment for a little bit, it's going to be John Ramos. But first, we're going to go to Arlington's National Cemetery on Memorial Day to watch President Trump lay the wreath. Take a look. We're so thankful for everyone, every soldier that gave their life for the freedom that we have. When we get back from this break, we are going to go to Arlington Cemetery and hear words given by our president, President Trump, remembering those that gave the ultimate price of laying down their life so that we could be free. Join us after this break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
The American concept right now is not God's original intent. Mm-hmm. The church is the church no matter how we meet, whether we meet in a big stucco building, a metal building, or a storefront, or in a house. It's where we meet doesn't define who we are. But we're supposed to be doing something after we meet. I mean, it should be like a coming together, a huddle. And we're going like, you know, this happened and that happened. And, you know, not like I just did Satan all week and all of a sudden I'm going to do Jesus at 11:45 on Sunday. I mean, that's not how it works.
Well, I mean, think about it. Jesus said in Matthew 20, he said, go and make disciples. There's an action.
Now, go. If you look go up, what does it mean go?
Well, think about it. I mean, if you were to get a brand new car and you love it. It's great. It's everything that you hope for. But then it just sat in your driveway. You never did anything with it, and you never used what it was designed for.
Are you talking about the church, or are you talking about a car? This kind of sounds the same.
But what I'm saying is that in regards to the fact that we have turned that, you know, it, what we talked about.
What you could do, you could paint your car. If you painted it and carpeted it and put a better sound system in with a boom boost, you know.
Yes.
Whatever that's called.
Music?
Yes. Yeah, that's all right. I don't know where the drummer, I don't know how big this car is. But
you think about it, we've talked about it on a previous program, is that when you look at.
Subwoofer. Go ahead.
Something like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But when you look at the Great Commission, it's about discipleship. We've turned it into just making converts.
You used to go to church. Now we got to be a disciple.
Well, right.
Why do you have to be a disciple?
That's exactly what Jesus called us to do. Go and make disciples.
So that means that 80% of American Christians who are not picking up their Bible at all.
Not reading it at all.
So how can you actually do what it says? Because he says a disciple is someone who knows and follows my teaching.
Mm-hmm. That's a great question.
Then when Rick Joyner said, he said only 10% of Christians in America, maybe it was even smaller than that, even know what their call is, which means 90% don't even know what their call is. But how, you can't, we're in trouble. Mm-hmm. We need to make disciples.
That's right.
We need to make disciples. And that, I tell you, this, a disciple is someone that goes out and cares about somebody who knows Jesus personally, who has a real, we have Emmaus Road. Emmaus Road is perfectly set up for this generation, and you can be a part of it. If you want to be a part of what God's doing, you want to do something for God, find out what he's doing and just dive in full speed ahead. We have Emmaus Road. Emmaus Road is specifically set up, so no matter where you are, no matter what device you have, whether it's a computer or a mobile device or whatever, even if it has a face on it, I guess, you know. But you can do what Jesus, you can learn the teachings of Jesus, and you can begin to apply them in your life. That's and right. Go out, and you can do anything and go anywhere.
Yeah. And that, while you're learning, you can also help others too.
Yeah. This is exciting. It really is. And you can find that at VineFellowshipNetwork.org. Go to Hello Church and Emmaus Road and find out which pathway is better for you. There are a couple different pathways.
Welcome back to VFM TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. We're going to go right to Arlington Cemetery, where President Trump is honoring our soldiers and the families that have paid the ultimate price. But he also gives some remarks there that just very meaningful. This is President Trump on Memorial Day at Arlington National Cemetery.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you so much. And thank you, General Dunford, Secretary Mattis, for your moving words and for your service to our great nation. Vice President Pence, Cabinet Secretaries, members of Congress, members of the Armed Forces and veterans, thank you for joining us as we honor the brave warriors who gave their lives for ours, spending their last moments on this earth in defense of this country and of its people. Words cannot measure the depth of their devotion, the purity of their love, or the totality of their courage. We only hope that every day we can prove worthy, not only of their sacrifice and service, what of the sacrifice made by the families and loved ones they left behind? Special, special people. I especially want to extend our gratitude to Secretary John Kelly for joining us today. Incredible man. I always like to call him General. He understands more than most ever could or ever will the wounds and burdens of war. Not only did Secretary proudly serve in the military for more than 40 years, enduring many hardships, but he and his incredible wife, Karen, have borne the single most difficult hardship of them all, the loss of their son, Robert, in service to our country. Robert died fighting the enemies of all civilizations in Afghanistan. To John, Karen, Heather, Kate, Andrea, and the entire Kelly family, today, 300 million American hearts are joined together with yours. We grieve with you, we honor you, and we pledge to you that we will always remember Robert and what he did for all of us. Thank you, John. The Kelly family represents military families across the country who carry the burden of freedom on their shoulders. Secretary Kelly is joined today by his son-in-law, Jake, a wounded warrior, and the Secretary's son, Johnny, will soon leave on his fifth deployment. It is because of families like yours that all of our families can live in safety and live in peace. To every Gold Star family who honors us with your presence, you lost sons and daughters, husbands and wives, mothers and fathers. They each had their own names, their own stories, their own beautiful dreams. But they were all angels sent to us by God, and they all share one title in common, and that is the title of hero. Real heroes. Though they were here only a brief time before God called them home, their legacy will endure forever. General Douglas MacArthur once said that the soldier who is called upon to offer and to give his life for his country is the noblest development of mankind. Here at this hallowed shrine, we honor the noblest among us, the men and women who paid the ultimate price for victory and for freedom. We pay tribute to those brave souls who raced into gunfire, roared into battle, and ran into hell to face down evil. They made their sacrifice not for fame or for money or even for glory, but for country. We are privileged to be joined today by a man whose life demonstrates the values of service and sacrifice, Senator Bob Dole, here with his wife, Senator Elizabeth Dole. Senator Dole fought bravely in World War II and was severely wounded by German fire. In just a few weeks, Bob will be celebrating his 94th birthday. And Bob, I know I speak for millions of grateful Americans when I say thank you. Thank you, Bob. We thank you not only for your service, but for helping us to remember your fallen comrades and the countless American patriots who gave their lives in the Second World War. Since the first volley of gunfire in the Revolution, brave Americans in every generation have answered the call of duty and won victory for freedom in its hour of need. Today, a new generation of American patriots are fighting to win the battle against terrorism, risking their lives to protect our citizens from an enemy that uses the murder of innocents to wage war on humanity itself. We are joined today by the wife of Specialist Christopher Horton, who rests on these so beautiful grounds. As Jane tells us, Chris was a man who loved his country with every part of his being. In 2008, Chris enlisted in the Oklahoma Army National Guard. He trained as a sniper, becoming known as one of the best shots anywhere at any time. He was a talented, tough guy. While Chris was in the National Guard, he was also a volunteer police officer. In everything he did, he was thinking about how he could serve God, serve his family, and serve his country. In 2011, he deployed for the first time to Afghanistan. Chris knew his job was one of the most dangerous there was, but he was determined to go after the enemy at any cost to himself. His missions helped target and kill terrorists who sought to destroy innocent people. Just 3 months into his first deployment, Chris was near the Pakistan border, trying to eliminate an enemy cell that was doing so much damage and that was planting deadly roadside bombs against his unit and the units of many others. Standing watch with his comrades, he died in the ensuing gun battle with enemy forces. Chris sacrificed his life to protect his fellow soldiers and to protect all Americans. He was awarded the Purple Heart and Bronze Star for his courage. At only 26 years old, Chris secured his place in our hearts for eternity. Jane, America grieves with you. Our whole entire nation sends you our support, our strength, and our deep, deep love. You lost your husband, and America lost a hero. And together, we will preserve his memory today, tomorrow, and always. Thank you, Jane. Thank you, Jane. Thank you, Jane. Thank you, Jane. We're also joined today by David and Rose Byers, the parents of Major Andrew Byers. As a boy, Andrew dreamed of the chance to attend the United States Military Academy at West Point. He worked hard, he earned that chance, and he graduated at the top of his class. He became the commander of a special HALO team, leading his fellow soldiers out of aircraft, hurtling into dangerous and unknown territory. About this time last year, Andrew was sent on his third combat deployment. This time, he went to Afghanistan. On November 3rd, he was one of 10 Special Forces to land by helicopter near a Taliban safe haven in northern Afghanistan. They trekked through a mile of waist-deep mud and climbed a steep cliff before finally reaching the village that they wanted to reach. There, a night-long battle ensued. Andrew and his team fought off wave after wave after wave of enemy fighters. A grenade detonated, and as the Taliban began to surround the American and Afghan forces, Andrew ran through the smoke and through the hail of bullets to rescue an Afghan soldier. In the midst of this torrent of gunfire and danger, Andrew worked heroically to open a gateway and get his men to safety, risking his life to save theirs. And he did it. Unbelievably, he did it. But in saving those lives, Andrew was killed right then and there by enemy fire. Andrew has since been awarded the Silver Star for gallantry in battle. To his parents, David and Rose, we stand in awe of your son and his courageous sacrifice. On behalf of the American people, I express to you our everlasting gratitude for what your son did for his country, for his comrades, and for all of us. Andrew's father has said that he holds onto the promise of Joshua 1, verse 9, the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
John, it feels so good having a president that, supports our troops. And
yes,
doesn't it?
Absolutely.
I'm so thankful for our president in doing that. Listen, we have this offer for you. Take a look.
Offer 2034. There comes a time when oppression is over, but you must fight for your freedom. There is a cost to living in rebellion to God and failing to acknowledge Him personally and as a nation. That cost is oppressive leadership or living an oppressed life. This kind of oppression is not to push us away from the Lord, but to bring us back to the Lord. The very reason it comes upon a nation is because they've turned away from God. Yet there comes a time when this oppression is over. In this message, you'll be able to gain wisdom from looking back and learning how Israel was under great oppression, as God had sold them to a ruthless, cruel governmental leader for 20 years. You'll also learn how important it is to turn back to God and listen for His voice, a word from the Lord, when He begins to give you wisdom and how to fight for your freedom, and how important it is to hear what He says, believe Him, and act on it to be free. You'll discover how many words of freedom from the Lord sit on the shelf waiting for someone to believe the oppression is over, believe God, and fight for the freedom that God wants you to believe. We learn all through this through the life of Deborah. We want to send you this offer for a gift of any amount. You can go to VFNTV.com and become a partner by clicking on Partner Now. Or you can write to us at 40 West 9 Mile Road, number 2, PMB 360, Pensacola, Florida, 32534. Or call us at 844-408-3688. That's offer 2034. There comes a time when oppression is over, but you must fight for your freedom.
Keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
We were leaving the building.
making our exit, and we were going by the impacted point. We could not get to the people because the fire was so intense, again, burning at about 1,500 degrees or so, but we could hear them yelling.
We'll never forget 9/11. And on today's Focus on the Family Minute, Pastor Tom Joyce shares his account of surviving the Pentagon attack.
They were saying, "Would somebody help me? Will somebody show me the way? Will somebody," they were using these words, "save me?" And I'm thinking, nothing's changed. Sure, there's not a fire still in the Pentagon, but people all around this world are yelling, "Will somebody help me? Will somebody show me the way? Will somebody," they're using this word, "will somebody save me?" And so we have a high calling as believers in Jesus Christ to respond to those people who are in need, great need of Him. The need is there every day.
You'll hear more personal reflections about 9/11 today at FamilyMinute.org.
This is Just a Thought with Ravi Zacharias.
The whole Islamic worldview is comprehensive. It is political, it has a moral theory, it has a cultural theory, it has a financial theory, it has a propagational method. A Muslim man in the Middle East said to me, "Beware, the difference between the radical and the moderate is not as great as people would think. The line is very thin." In its core, the Islamic worldview would pose a greater challenge to the life and the lifestyle of the Western worldview. Because in the Western worldview, you are given the freedom to believe and disbelieve. It's not always true in Islamic nations. So I would say, in terms of the freedom of these things, the greater challenge to the world right now is coming from that worldview. But in terms of the pervasiveness of belief systems, the paganism is certainly a more daunting one. I don't think it's as fearsome, but it is real.
Helping the thinker believe and the believer think. For more information, go to rzim.org.
It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, to just partner on a monthly basis, to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation, and this nation, by God's grace, to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm telling you, this is all about Memorial Day, remembering those that have paid the ultimate price for us to have this freedom. And I think about Steve Kolosiewski. You know, you see him on the program. He's part of VFN TV. But also, he served for us. He served two tours of duty in Iraq. And he shares with us the real true meaning of Memorial Day, and even takes us to the changing of the setting of the flags that takes place on a Memorial Day at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. This is Steve Kolosiewski.
When I say this story, I want to just say something in the beginning. A lot of people aren't fully aware of the difference between Veterans Day and Memorial Day, and they'll kind of go up to a veteran and they'll kind of shake their hand and almost in a celebratory moment. And some people might not understand that if a veteran looks in a kind of a downcast way. And the reason why I want to share this is that Memorial Day isn't the same day as Veterans Day. Veterans Day is remembering those that are serving and those that have served. But Memorial Day is remembering those that didn't come home. Remembering those that were prisoners of war that have yet to be identified or what happened to them. And so often, we look at our service members, and it's just service members. They don't have names. We don't really understand the gravity of these weekends, and we look at it as it's just, you know, a day off or an opportunity for a picnic. But this is a really special weekend for me because there's a lot of people that I worked very closely with, and they're buried in a cemetery in Virginia. It's called Arlington National Cemetery. And Pat, can you show that one last image? A lot of people see this image, and they're just headstones. But on each individual one of those headstones, just like any other cemetery, there's somebody's specific name. It says the branch that they served in. It says their specific rank. It says where they served and if they had any distinguishing medals. And but I just want to tell you about one guy. Can you go to that first picture? This was Mike Corman. His name was Lee Hamilton Deal. I have a crazy thing on my foot that's bugging me. Sorry. Funny story about Lee is the first time I met him, we were on a rifle range working on our night vision and learning how to shoot with our night vision goggles that had a laser emitted from our rifle. And in between sticks of fire, we were firing, and I found out that he was actually the place kicker. This is really bugging me. The place kicker or the punter, whatever you want to put it, for... Now I'm lopsided. For the Louisiana State University, LSU. And he is a phenomenal athlete. And he tells me this funny... The amazing thing about war is you will be literally receiving gunfire and laughing as hard as you can because there's guys telling you funny stories. But with Lee, we were on this rifle range, and he's telling me this story that, you know, those like Super Bowl events or big school events that they have like the halftime show, and if you kick a field goal, you win like $100,000, you know, prize. Well, his name gets called, and he was just like, I guess I should go. So he is like literally addressing the ball about to kick, and they say his name, and they're like, wait a second, and they find out who he is, and they're like, no, you can't do this. But he just had a way of telling stories. And we would literally meet people, and you can see this picture, and we're meeting just an Iraqi family, and their little child had a problem. He breaks out his bag, stops the patrol, and, you know, whether they had a sniffling nose or a cold, but that was Lee's heart. Lee had such a heart for people, and he took care of us. He was a Navy guy, but they call him Greenside Corpsman. And... But on some of our operations, we got some intelligence that we kind of went outside of our area, and we found out where some bad guys were. And there was about six of our trucks. We actually drove up to this compound and really didn't know what was going on. And as soon as the first truck came up to this building, they started taking fire from the enemy immediately. Their truck went down, and we had to dismount and basically move on this target. And in Iraq, there's like these long chicken coops, if you can imagine, where people like harvest chickens and stuff. But this one was not a chicken coop. It looked like a chicken coop, but it wasn't, and it had a whole false wall. And what we didn't know was that we had basically walked in on basically the number two target in all of Iraq. And... his name was Zarqawi, and he's been in a lot of headlines, and it's basically ISIS. What I'll skip all that, but anyways, long story short, Lee had no idea, and he walked in on this chicken coop, and he started receiving gunfire from two Iraqi basically 7.62 machine guns, and there was basically two strands of fire in between them, and he had no idea because it was pitch dark, and he ended up taking a bullet to the neck and went down, and he was about 20 yards in this chicken coop, and Neil was behind him and had no idea, and he threw a smoke bomb and our smoke grenade and basically cut all of our visibility, and we realized that we had no idea where Lee was. And another guy on the team crawled 20 yards and he pulled Lee out, and I was outside with my team. We were doing a cordon, which is like security, to make sure nobody would come up on the objective, or we would basically kill anybody that was trying to run away. And I had no idea that Lee was killed. And then I heard, you know, if you ever have someone that goes down and they identify it, you've got your name and then you've got the last four of your social on your shoulder, and it's called your kill number. And and they said his number over the net, and I knew it was him. And I can still see, because you're wearing night vision, it was just like everything had that green haze. And they told me I had to get him off the objective, and I'm literally carrying Lee's body. And I put him on the truck away, because the objective still wasn't even secure yet. And finally, when we secured the whole objective, we had found out that this was like a major hub of Al-Qaeda activity, and we didn't even know it. And we had basically just walked into a hornet's nest. But once everything got secured, we called in two F-16s that were supposed to come and drop a 500-pound bomb on this objective, and we had probably eight different trucks, and another platoon came in to provide security. And I'm staring at the objective outside of my I'm in the Humvee, and you're so trained to respond and not even think. And I was so scared of myself because I couldn't even cry. And all I could think about was that there's no more jokes from Lee. You know, it's just, he's gone. And can you go to that next picture? This is actually the last day. He was in another team, and his team took this shot of Lee. And we were going between houses, and just seeing the people and checking how things were. And you can go to that next picture. And this is Lee at the Rock. And what the Rock is that if you're calling back to headquarters, or you're calling back, because we would go outside of Camp Fallujah, and we were one of the few units that could take a house and then do operations from that house. And when you would call back, they call them radio checks every 30 minutes, and you would say, hey, this is our location, this is where we are, and this is where we're going to go. And Lee would be on the other end, and he'd say, check Raj, and then he'd pass it on to the commander, let him know where we are. And that was the last day I saw Lee. And just like what Brother Greg is saying, is that you have no idea when someone's going to be your last. And that is so real to me, because I've literally, every time he says that, I think of Lee. Because I was just talking with him, just having jokes, eating an MRE, and then we found out, hey, we got some intel, we're going to go to another spot. We're like, okay, cool, let's find out what's going on. And 45 minutes later, I'm carrying his body. And the reason why I'm telling you this is that when you hear people talk about Memorial Day, is, hey, I get a day off, hey, let's have a picnic, oh, traffic, is that this is why we celebrate Memorial Day. And I showed you that cemetery, and that's one cemetery, but there's cemeteries all around this nation, and it's got somebody's dad's name on there. It's got somebody's brother's name on there. And if you ever go to Arlington National Cemetery, Section 60 is the Iraqi war location. That's where all the guys that they're losing now that are fighting in Afghanistan and Iraq, it's called Section 60. Throughout the entire cemetery, there's a section. And my first deployment was when we lost Lee. And if you've ever been to a cemetery, it's like they had just prepared that plot, and there's like a couple, they're like getting ready to do a couple more rows. And we lost a couple guys the next deployment. And the most difficult sight I've ever seen in my life was that when we buried Lee and Mark and Chris, it was that not even 2 years later, there was probably 10 more rows. In 2 years. So I just want to just take this time and just show you, and just this is what Memorial Day is about. It's not a day off. Is that we're remembering. If you ever get a chance to go to Virginia, I just encourage you to go to Arlington National Cemetery. But I'm about to show you something. And Lee has a name. Like, we know where Lee is. Like, Lee's buried there. Like, he came home, his family was able to have closure and see him buried, and his mom got his flag. But there's a lot of people that never came home. There's a lot of people that became prisoners of war, or they got lost in battle and they never came home. And in Arlington National Cemetery, there's one location. It's called the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. And I believe it's since 1943 or 1953, don't quote me on the dates, that has been guarded 24 hours, 7 days a week. And I want to say, I can't remember which hurricane it was, but the president passed down to this unit, and they said that there is a category, like 5 hurricane coming, and you are relieved from your duties if you would like to leave this tomb. And the commander of the unit said, sir, it's our honor to be here. And we will stay because this is our calling. This is what we're called to do. And every Memorial Day, what you're going to see is that there's one guard, and he's called a sentry. And he lays the flags, and it's called Flags In. And you're going to see him marching, and in the right of the frame, it looks like a white wall, and it's just a white tomb. But I just want to show you this, and just remember that this is what Memorial Day is all about. It's not Veterans Day, but it means so much more than just a day off.
That was so powerful. We heard, Steve talking about, his friend and the loss. And I know that when he shared that at the VFN Dream Center, our hearts just melted and there was tears everywhere. But I'm grateful for Steve sharing because we need to connect with the reality of the price that people pay for us to have this kind of freedom.
That perspective.
Yeah, we do need that perspective. And, Steve talked about Section 60 in the Arlington National Cemetery. And as a matter of fact, this is visitors coming in to the Section 60 that Steve was talking about. Let's go there now. powerful. I just want that just ingrained in my heart, right?
Absolutely.
That you know, just it's like 1% of us serves for this freedom, and we're so thankful for our soldiers. We're grateful for a president who stands up for our military and is standing behind to support them, and our hearts are touched. When we get back from this break, we're going to be hearing the Army play Taps on Memorial Day at the National Arlington Cemetery. Join us after the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
We're so excited about the marriage encounter. So many people are complaining about what marriage has turned into. A lot of people are not even going to be married anymore, and people are giving up on it. You don't have to. Listen, God's plan is marriage. And at the marriage encounter with VFN, we want to bless you. The VFN Kingdom Business, we're focusing on you, your family, and your marriage. It's called Love and Respect. We have a special thing for you, an entire weekend. It's going to bless your family. It's going to give you tools to be able to relate. And let me tell you something. Once we understand each other, we can relate to each other. And we're going to leave with tools that are going to empower you. As a matter of fact, here's Emerson now with Love and Respect.
Hi, I'm Emerson Eggerich, founder and president of Love and Respect Ministries. What is the Love and Respect message? Well, the University of Washington studied 2,000 couples for 20 years and discovered that the key to a successful relationship is love and respect. What I found interesting is that the Bible said that 2,000 years ago in Ephesians 5:33, that a husband must love and a wife must respect. It's gender specific. I always insert, we all need love and respect equally. Women need R-E-S-P-E-C-T and men need L-O-V-E. But there's a felt need that differs in conflict between men and women. We've asked 7,000 people this question. When you're in a conflict with your spouse, do you feel in love at that moment or disrespected? 83% of the men said they feel disrespected. 72% of the women say they feel unloved. And here's what happens. It kind of gets crazy because she's not trying to be disrespectful. He filters it through that grid, though. When she feels unloved, she reacts in a negative way, which ends up feeling disrespectful to him. She's not trying to be disrespectful, but he feels disrespected. And then when he reacts in a negative way, he's not trying to be unloving, but she feels unloved. And so you have this confusion, and it results in a crazy cycle. Without love, she reacts without respect. Without respect, he reacts without love, and this baby spins. Again, we all need love and respect equally, but the felt need often leads to the crazy cycle. Can you relate to that? And how to get on what we call the energizing cycle. In fact, it applies to parent-child. It applies to all relationships, whether you're a male or female, wherever you're at, in the work arena or elsewhere.
Well, listen, I want to tell you about this. You know, we are excited to tell you we have launched VFN TV's YouTube channel. We are out there. We had people request it. I'm very excited about it. You know, you can simply go to it by going to VFNTV.com and click on YouTube, or you can go to YouTube.com/VFNTV. But I wanted you to know that we are out there in YouTube. We have an audience now that stretches all around the world that's joined us in other ways as well. And we thank you for watching, and you can subscribe to us. As a matter of fact, you know, you can go there and check every from time to time about new, because almost every day new content's coming out there. But one way to make sure that you be notified that content is happening is you go there and you press the button subscribe. You can see that button here probably. Just press that button. Doesn't cost you nothing. It's just a thing that happens. And then you'll be notified every time new materials put up on the YouTube channel. That's right, VFN TV. We're now on YouTube. It's youtube.com/VFNTV, or just go to VFNTV.com and click on YouTube.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, welcome back. You know, Steve Kalaszewski, he told us, you know, and showed us what it was like changing the flag at the unknown soldier, the tomb of the unknown soldier. Well, this is actually the United States Army Band playing taps and honoring at the tomb of the unknown soldier on Memorial Day. Let's go there now. Well, we just thank God for everyone that served our country. Memorial Day is different, as Steve said, than Veterans Day. These are the people who served us and gave the ultimate price, their life. And maybe you're a family member. We hear about Gold Star families. Those are ones that lost their loved ones. We just pray right now. We want to pray for you. And if you'll join us in praying for our families that have lost a loved ones. And Section 60, as you saw, there's still people coming in there. My heart just breaks about that. We need to honor the freedom that they gave their lives for. Father God, we just pray right now for our military. We thank you for the families that gave the ultimate price of a father, a daughter, a son, or a sister, God. Lord, our hearts break with them, Father God, but we're not going to let that be in vain. We're going to live like they died for in regards to standing up for our country and standing up for our Constitution and standing up for the rights that they laid their life down for, Father God. I pray that you would comfort their families. I pray that you would strengthen our president as he stands up for the military, God. And I pray, Lord, that you would prevent any more death from taking place of our military, Lord. And we just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at VFNTV.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.